in the morning when I rise. In the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Just give me Jesus.
Jesus. Is that right? Is that your desire? You want more of Him and less of this world? But I want to tell you something. This world is fixing to be history. And you and I, our beginning is just getting ready to start. We've been on a little journey here on earth, but it ain't nothing like what eternity holds for us. Aren't you glad that God's got a resting place, Brother Terry? That was so good Wednesday night. Appreciate the word of the Lord. And I know you had a wonderful service here last night. I wasn't able to be here, but I streamed some of the service. And what I did stream, I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I know God's going to meet with us again today. We have come to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Aren't you glad we love both of them, spirit and in truth? Aren't you glad you love the spirit and the truth? Give Jesus a big hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, God is so good to us, church. God is so good to us. Hallelujah. What an opportunity He has presented us with today to come to His house to worship Him in spirit and truth. Now, before you do anything else, why don't you turn around and look somebody right in the face, shake their hand, tell them you're glad to see Him in church today, and mean it with all your heart. Play some more of that, brother. I'm going to let you be seated this morning while we look at our prayer requests. We've got a lot of things we want to let you know about today. Sister Tamika Brown sends this in. Please pray for my friend, Natasha Trammell, who may be facing brain surgery. So we certainly want to commit that need unto the Lord today. That God would be with her during this time. Brother Matt and Sister Melissa Sarve, I want to thank the Lord for all the blessings, and want to thank this church family for their love and concern for them. Brother Daniel, Sister Linda says that their son Stephen and family will be flying from Germany back to the States this week. Please pray that they will have a safe trip. So let's just commit that to the Lord this morning. Ask God to be with them. Sister Louise McKinney wants us to remember her sister Margaret Peters in prayer. Has bone cancer in her spine and in her hips. We go to the doctor on Tuesday to see what treatments, if any, are possible. So let's pray. Let's pray for that need as we pray today. I want to pray for Sister Patsy Short's mother. She's in the hospital with pneumonia, so let's remember that today. I want to pray for Brother Charlie Therese. He's home sick with the flu, so let's pray for our brother. We miss him when he's not here, don't we? Amen. So let's pray for Brother Charlie. Please remember Brother Tracy. He's back in the Med Center, room 7402. The phone number is 431-7402. So if you could remember that, give him a call, or maybe, I don't know if he's up to visitors at this time. It doesn't say, but if you could at least give him a call, I'm certain he would appreciate that. Brother Baker wants us to remember his wife in prayer, Sister Christine, who has been having a lot of pain in her legs, unable to attend the service. So let's pray for her as we pray today. Sister Joanna Tessa says, I want to thank the Lord for his tender healing touch. After Brother Darrell and the brothers prayed for me last night, the healing process has begun. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So we praise the Lord for that this morning. Sister Elizabeth Manley wants us to remember a situation concerning her sister and her family. They were involved in a car accident with a pedestrian last night, and the pedestrian passed away. So let's pray for that family as they go through this part of their life, that God would just help both families. Sister Rachel Scott wants us to remember her husband, Brother Randy. A lot of pain in his legs, aches in his body. So let's pray that the Lord would be with him and bless him with his healing touch. Recently, I turned down a job of which would have been a substantial raise in income. My current boss offered me a raise in income if I stayed with them. Every week for the past month, he's reminded me of the burden that the man has put on him financially. This week, he did not give the amount promised, and I've lost the opportunity on the other jobs. So just pray that the Lord would come on the scene and work things out. There's no name attached to that, but we're just committed unto the Lord this morning. Brother Calvin Ward offers this testimony. I want to thank the Lord for my healing and express my thanks and appreciation for all the saints' prayers during my recent hospitalization and sickness. Well, we're certainly glad to have our brother back in the congregation with us this morning. Amen. I understand Brother Jim Babb did get to go home from the hospital. He's home resting, recuperating, so we certainly want to continue to remember Brother Jim in prayer that the Lord would just give him a fast, speedy recovery. You have an unspoken prayer request this morning, something you'd like for this group to pray about. Let's stand to our feet, if you will. While you stand, let me make these announcements. We'll get those out of the way. Brother Barry Coffey sent this over to the library. Brothers, God bless you this morning. Just wondering if you could mention that today is the last day for registration for the men's meeting. We kept it open so men could register today. We still have room for more men to attend. If you don't mind announcing this to your church, we would appreciate it so much. May God bless you, Brother Barry Coffey. So if you still have a desire and got room in your schedule to attend that, I'm certain it'd be a blessing to you. Brothers, you're encouraged to sign up for that. Everyone is welcome to the wedding of Ruth Krause and Philip Priest. The wedding will be this coming Saturday, October the 5th at 11 a.m. Is that at the Tipton Haynes Farm? Is that where that wedding's at? Says waffles will be served after the wedding, so come hungry. And maybe they'll have some ham biscuits, Brother Terry. I don't know. But we can always hope. Waffles is okay, but they just ain't got the touch of a ham biscuit. Amen. Brother David Swanson may even be wishing for a ham biscuit. I even remembered your name this morning, buddy. God bless your heart. What was so funny to me when I absolutely lost his name Wednesday night is when he walked right here, he looked at me like he didn't know who he was neither. So I probably utterly confused you because I was totally confused. But aren't you just glad that God loves us? Oh, in spite, my son was home streaming the service and he said, they heard me in the house laughing and he wouldn't know what I was laughing about. He said, my crazy daddy ain't got no sense. So that being said, I love you anyway. Amen. And we're so glad to be in the house of God this morning. Just the Lord, I guess he takes us in our frailty and maybe he knows we need a little humor in our lives sometime. And you all got a little humor Wednesday night, but that's all right. Brother, I certainly apologize for that. I didn't mean to do that. But we're going to pray at this time. Now, you know this. We've seen testimony after testimony after testimony come across this platform of the healing power of our Lord Jesus, not only in sickness, but in financial needs and marital needs, all different kinds of needs. You have turned in request. The people have prayed and God has come on the scene and answered prayer. Now, do you appreciate that you're still serving a God that answers prayer? Are you well aware that he's still alive here in 2013? We're serving a present day God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Brother Rob, come this morning. Let's invite the presence of the Lord into the service. Commit all these needs unto our Lord. Love you, buddy.
Love you too. Love you too. God bless you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we come to you in prayer with thanksgiving in our hearts this day. We thank you for the joy in our hearts. We thank you for you coming to each of us, making us more like you. Lord, I don't know where to start with this prayer. Father, the needs being mentioned, serious needs, Lord. But I know that you are a comforter, And I thank you, Lord, for being that. Lord, if there's anything that we can do, it's because you are in us comforting those people and the requests that are made. There's nothing good in us but you. And I thank you, Lord, for flowing freely through the body, that you can make something good out of this day and good out of this prayer, Lord. I submit myself to you as these people do in kind. And I pray, Lord God, that you come through on behalf of the needs of the body, dear Lord Jesus, which is your due benevolence you want to give to your wife. I pray, Lord God, that you just be mindful. And I thank you for being a comforter in this day. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and we ask. Amen.
Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting with us today in the service, we want to welcome all of you, all those that are streaming this service today. May God bless those folks as well. I'm looking for some folks that's supposed to be arriving. I don't believe they're here yet, but Brother Avery Rourke and his wife and some of those folks, Brother Seth's kin folks, may be coming in late. If you're here, God bless you. We're glad to have you. If you come in late, we'll still be glad to see you. But let's sing a song this morning. Here in Satan's Eden, as you stand, you're fighting for your life. And you know what? You're winning. It may seem like sometimes that you're backing up or you're giving ground, but I'm going to tell you something. Satan, he's fighting like he's winning. But we've read the back of the book, and I already know who wins. And I already know who loses. We win. Give Jesus another hand clap of praise. Something keeps holding me. Every day I see. Always helping me faithfully. Overcome. My
Oh,
Let's sing a little chorus together, Sister Alicia Babb, and I don't know, some folks going to help her sing a song this morning. Ever how they have that put together, if they come onto the platform. Brother Justin, there you are. You come. I want you to give us that song again this morning, if you could. He just blessed our heart last week, didn't he? Amen. But let's sing this chorus as they get ready to sing for you. God is good every day, all the time. 24/7, God is good. Let's sing about it, if you will. Well, God is good, you know He is. He's good all the time.
God is good,
yes He is. He's good all the time. You can search the whole world over. Amen. You can be seated this morning. Give our singers a hand as they sing for you today.
Y'all pray for me. They don't need no help. They're good. But I need help. What were you singing?
Temple filled with praise, send down your glory, send down.
glory. Our broken lives you can mend. If you will touch us once again, send down your glory. Send down your glory. Send down your glory. Cleanse these hands that we raise in this temple filled with praise. Send down your glory. Send down your glory. Our broken lives you can mend. If you will touch us once again,
people are told I wasn't singing, I apologize for lying. It's Louis' fault. Because I wasn't till just now. But I hope it blesses you. I appreciate the support and the all the thank yous and tell me it was good. I just, when I went home, I was like, that was awesome. Lord, you did awesome. You gave it to me, and I'm so thankful. And I hope it blesses you again. On water, and you calmed the raging sea. I know you turned the water into wine, and you made the blind to see.
But when I'm at my lowest, help me to keep. To keep on praying. To keep on singing. To keep on pressing on. To go to your word to find my peace. 'Cause I'm on my way to victory. When I stand up again, I'll be stronger than before. Then we will win the battle. Oh, then we will win the war. And if I am surrounded, I will keep. I'll keep on praying. I'll keep on singing. I'll keep on pressing on. I'll go to your word to find my I'm on my way to victory. I know I don't think right sometimes, and I put myself down. Oh, but I know you remind me what I'm meant to be. So I'll keep on praying. I'll keep on singing. I'll keep on pressing. Oh, oh, I'll go to your word to find my. I'm on my way to victory. So I'll keep on praying. I'll keep on singing. I'll keep on pressing on. I'll go to your word. I'm on my way to victory.
Help me sing it, please.
So I'll keep on praying. I'll keep on singing. I'll keep on pressing on. I'll go. I'm on my way to thee.
Amen. Yeah, we certainly win. No question about it. This little bride will not fail. She's predestinated by God not to fail. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, we really need to change the way we act sometimes. You know, we need to start acting like winners. You say, "Oh, Brother Darrell, I'm trying to be humble." We'll humbly act like a winner. Amen. What's wrong with being who you are, friends? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Certainly enjoyed the presence of the Lord last night. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with us to the book of St. John. We want to read there from chapter 11, starting at verse 1. Thank you, Brother Louis. Brother Louis, get my handkerchief out of there, brother. Amen. St. John chapter 11, verse 1. Just a simple little evangelistic thought that we was looking the other day, and it just kind of jumped out at us there in the message, and it was just such a blessing to us, and we trust it'll be to you also. St. John now, chapter 11, verse 1. Thank you, sir. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which had anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." And when Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard therefore he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, "Let us go into Judea again." And his disciples said unto him, "Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee. And goest thou thither again?" And Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him." These things he said, after that he saith unto them, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go." "But I go, that I may awake him out of his sleep." Oh God. I just love that, don't you? Amen. Amen. "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep." Let us bow our heads this morning. I want to speak to you just a little evangelistic thought on then Jesus came along. Oh, Lord, we just love you today, Father. We are so glad that your word can still stimulate our hearts, Lord. Knowing, Lord, as I've believed for many years, that you squeeze a man's heart and the juice comes out his eyes. And Lord, we are so glad that we can still feel the pull, dear God, of your word. And Lord, I pray this morning, this little simple thought, dear God, but may you anoint it, Lord, to the people's faith would rise higher, dear God, to receive that which you've already given them. For Lord, we heard your prophet say so many times that if Jesus Christ stood here in this suit that he gave me, he could not heal you because you are already healed. Oh, Father God, it is a finished work. Calvary paid the price, dear God, for our healing, Lord, for our joy, for our victory, for our peace, for our comfort, God. Lord, we know we're on a battlefield, Lord, but we have a right to fight for these things, dear God. Lord, a year ago, when they come against Geronimo and his band of followers, Lord, they was trying to annihilate him off the earth, trying to take him off the face of the earth. But the prophet of God said they called him a renegade. They called him all kinds of names. But he said Geronimo was a real gentleman. He was only fighting for his God-given right, that God gave him a land and a nation and a place to live. Oh, Father God, we stand here today. We have a right to fight for that, dear God, which has been given to us, a land and a nation, dear God, and a tongue and a language, Lord, of the Almighty God with healing and the power of the victory of the Pentecost restored into our hearts, dear God. May we take nothing less, Lord, than the things that's promised for us in this hour, Lord. We believe, dear God, it is in these times, Lord, that you move the greatest, Lord. The greatest victories come from the deepest valleys, dear God. Then may we not be afraid, Lord, to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. For thou art with us, Lord. Thy rod and thy staff, amen, thou comfort us, Lord. Thou anoint our hands with oil. Oh, God, we love you today, Lord. Oh, may every spirit be bound by the name of Jesus Christ, by the same anointing that raised my Lord from the grave. May that anointing come among us, dear God, that when we leave the building, may the sick be healed. May the heavy be made light, dear God. May those who are downcast shout the victory, Lord, because our King is in the camp today. And we love you, dear God. We will press on. We will press on in the name of Jesus for the glory of God. Satan, you're a liar today. You're defeated. We rebuke you in the name of Jesus for the glory of God today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And the bride says, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Glory to God. Amen. I might get a little Pentecostal this morning. Amen. Now, just a little bit of background here just for a minute, but I want you to follow this thought because it'll mean more as we go on into what we want to look at this morning. But Brother Ben said this, speaking about God. He said he has never changed his pattern of work. Amen. He has never changed his pattern of work. Now, his characteristics never fails. It's always the same. Now, remember, his characteristics, the characteristics of God cannot fail. If it does, then God has failed. And the Bible said in Hebrews 13:8 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Therefore, he is the unchangeable God. Amen. Whatever character he was at the beginning, he is still that same character. Amen. Every way he worked, anytime he ever done anything, if he does it the same way. Anytime he ever done anything, if he ever does it again, he always does it the same way. Amen. Every way he works, anytime he ever does anything, he does it the same way every time. The same way every time. Amen. If he doesn't, it's his character has changed, see. And his characteristics would display something that wasn't God. So if he does something different than he's always done before, it would change his characteristics and that would make him not God. Because God's not known by just the form that he appears in, but he's known by his characteristics. Amen. Oh God, help us to understand that. God's not known by the form he appears in, but by his characteristics. Amen. Because God has the ability to appear in many forms. Let me show you. Abraham, he saw God in a dream. God spoke to him in different ways. But one day, Abraham, sitting outside of his tent, he saw three men come walking down the road. And Abraham ran out to one of them. He ran out to one of them. He didn't even acknowledge the other two. Because he wasn't Trinitarian. But he, thank you, Lord. He ran out to one of them. And he fell down. And he said, my Lord. He said, my Lord, How did Abraham know that was God? He never saw God in that form before. How did Abraham, a man like you and I, how did he know it was God? He'd never seen him in that form. But Abraham knew it was God because he saw the characteristics of God. Because the form had changed, but the character was the same. Amen. Whether it's in the form of the bridegroom or in the form of the bride, the characteristics are the same. That's why Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, the works I do, shall you do also." So God was made known to Abraham by his characteristics. His work pattern, his pattern never changes. His pattern never changes. Now, Brother Brandon says, sometimes it's unusual. Let's go lay a little background. Sometimes it's unusual, the things that God appears in. God appears in the unusual because God is unusual. He does unusual things. He appears at unusual times. And he is seen at unusual times. When times you wouldn't think that you would, he'd be there. Yet he's there. Times when you wouldn't think he can't be here. He cannot be here right now. Everything in the world is going wrong. There is no way. The times when we think he couldn't be here, yet he's here. Amen. The times you wouldn't think that you would, he'd be there, yet he's there. Very unusual. He works in mysterious ways. The Bible said his wonders to perform. Therefore, that makes him unusual. Amen. Times when you wouldn't think he would be there, and yet he's there. Amen. The times when you wouldn't think he would be there, and yet he's there. Amen. That would make a shout this morning. Amen. Now in our scripture reading, I want you to just think about those things. The unusual God appears at unusual times. Times when we couldn't think that he would be there. And yet, he shows up. He's there. And his character never changes. His characteristics, his work pattern, never changes. Now you talk about a jubilee. Mary and Martha and Lazarus. You talk about a time of rejoicing. You talk about being excited. They were having the time of their life. They were right in the middle of a great revival. God had revealed to them the word for that hour. They were seeing what God was doing for the very hour they was living in. And it made them excited. They were excited, Brother Terry. They weren't looking for God. God came looking for them. And God revealed to them what he was doing at that very moment in time. So they were having at the time of their life. The things that were taking place, they was right in the middle of it. Jesus, the prophet of Galilee, working miracles, working healings. They caught the revelation from God for that hour. They were excited. There was an excitement in the air because they realized God cared enough to show me what he's doing. They'd been thrown out of their church. They had been unliked on Facebook. They was being made fun of on YouTube. But they didn't care. If they think they're hurting my feelings, what they're putting on YouTube,
It don't even bother me. I don't even care. YouTube is what it is, YouTube. It's their opinion, and I found when someone has an opinion, it's usually because they're backslid. Because when you're really in God, when you're really in God's will, you've got no thought coming. Amen. Amen. Their thoughts was this. Why would I want to spend my time eating slop when I can have spiritual food in due season? Come on, somebody. Why would you waste time looking at all that negative stuff on YouTube? If you're going to spend your time, read your Bible, pray, look at the message. You ain't going to change them anyhow. For this cause was they born. They're manifesting what they are. It's manifesting time. I feel sorry for them. I do. My heart goes out to them. But these people were excited. Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Oh my. Huh? They're about like them Tennessee football players we were talking about last night. They couldn't wait for the doors to get open. Wait, the prophet said that, didn't he? So when we get Jesus in a heart right, we can't wait for those doors to open. Amen. They were bosom friends with Jesus. He ate in their house. He slept in their spare room. He sat at their table and talked about the things of God. They were on cloud nine. Surely we know how they feel. They had been privileged by God to see the message of the hour. Though it was unpopular. We read in the scriptures where the Jews sought to stone Jesus. The message of that hour was unpopular then. The message of this hour is unpopular today. They're not throwing stones through a window, but they're just trying to kill us with their tongue. Amen. But remember, they was in this great revival. They was all fired. You know, sometimes when you first come to the Lord, feels like your feet don't touch the ground. Like there's just a big bubble around you. And you're so happy. And you're hugging lampposts and everything else. You're just so happy. You remember? Some of you remember when you first met the Lord? That next morning when you woke up and you put your feet on the side of the bed and the desire to drink was gone, the desire to smoke was gone, and you felt so new and you felt so young and you felt so happy. Well, God ain't changed. He's still the same. We let our problems, we let our troubles, we let our fears get the best of us. But remember who we serve. We first got saved, man. We just thought, well, our feet didn't even touch the ground. We just... I remember that's the way I was. I just walked around. Then I woke up one morning, something grabbed me, threw me against the wall. Oh! But then I realized I was growing up. I remember when Jessica was first born, my firstborn, Jessica. I remember holding her in my arms, and oh, she was so little. Put her right there. Well, I couldn't do that now. Put her right there, you know, and I thought, oh, I just want to keep her right here forever. I just want her to stay right here on Daddy's shoulder forever. Yeah. About 6 months, I had enough of that. I was ready for that youngin' to walk. Come on, somebody. It's a sign of growing up. God gets confidence in it. He don't want to carry us around all the time. He said, now, you're my child. Walk. Follow me. But sometimes if you're young and you don't understand and you're young in the Lord, I'm saying this for a purpose, and you're young in the Lord, you think all of a sudden you start having all these trials and you have all these struggles. That's, you say, I must have not got anything. Wrong. That's the devil lying to you. That's the best evidence you did get something. I mean, when I was drinking and running down the road like an idiot. The devil never told me one time I was lost. Not one time. But as soon as I started serving God, he started telling me, you're lost. You're not saved. You're not. Finally, one day, I just got, I know I'm dumb, but I got smart. I said, listen here, you never told me that when I was out there in the world. Why are you telling me that now? I'll tell you why. Because something happened to me. Amen. Huh? They was on cloud nine. They was having a big revival. But remember, if there's a mountain, there's a valley. If there's a high, there's a low. If there's daylight, there's darkness. It's a law of contrast. But remember, the God on the mountain, still God in the valley. Whether we're on a mountain or whether we're in a valley, does not change who we are in the eyes of God. Amen. Now Jesus in his ministry, but Mary said he had to leave home. And when he went out, left Mary and Martha's house, and he went out, sorrow and trouble came in. And when he goes out of your home, sorrow and troubles come in. When he goes out of your church, confusion and backslidings come in. When trouble's on its road, keep him with you, he said. All the time. But he said in this case here, he wasn't drove away, but his work pattern never changes. He wasn't drove away from them. Wasn't that they didn't want him there, but his work pulled him away. And as soon as he went away, Lazarus, a bosom friend, took sick to die. Now there was in this great revival. Now all of a sudden Lazarus gets sick to die. It starts getting dark. Huh? See, there was in a cycle. There is a cycle of revival. Their cycle was moving, but just remember, if there's a winter, there will be another spring. The cycle was just changing. So Lazarus, when Jesus left, Lazarus, his bosom friend, took sick to die. But hey, when Jesus is your best friend, is there really anything to worry about? Is Jesus your friend? Then why do you worry? Lazarus took sick, but the Bible said Jesus loved him. Lazarus was his bosom buddy. Amen. And when your bosom buddy's with Jesus, what sickness to that? Oh, speak, Lord. That's good right there. Come on, somebody. Huh? Amen. Why do you really worry? Do we really worry? Should we really worry if Jesus is our best friend? What greater friend can we have than Jesus? So you know what they did? They sent a runner to go tell Jesus to come. Go find Jesus, tell him Lazarus is sick. So the runner went and he came back. And they perhaps looked up and saw him come and said, oh, great. Oh, the runner's back. The runner's back. But he comes in. They look right past the runner. Where's Jesus? Did you find him? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, I found him. Did you talk? Yes, I talked to him. I saw him. I talked to him. Did you tell him we needed him? Did you tell him that we was having trouble down here? Did you tell him? Yes. I told him. Well, is he coming? No. Wait a minute. Did you tell him it was Lazarus? Come on now. Did you say it was Lazarus, his bosom friend? Yes, I told him it was Lazarus. I told him it was Harry and Terry. I told him. Amen. I told him, ma'am. But it's seemingly, I told him you asked him to come. But seemingly, he just went the other way. They sent for Jesus to come and pray for him. They'd left their churches. They'd suffered persecution. They was following his message. And they needed him. And they sent for him. But instead of Jesus coming, he just went on. And they sinned again. And he just went on. Seemingly ignoring the request. Oh God. He's not coming. Did you tell him it's life? Did he really understand? Did he understand? Did he say anything at all? He just said the sickness wasn't unto death. And he went on to Judea, I believe he said. I asked Jesus to come because my brother was sick. And he goes to Judea.
Amen. Amen.
But Jesus knows all things. He knows what the Father shows him. He said, I do nothing but what I see my Father do. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. Do you believe that? He knew exactly what he was doing. How many can look at this situation here and say, oh, they should have realized it was Jesus? We read this and we think, they should have known Jesus because we know the story. We know the back of the book. So we say they should have known that Lazarus was going to raise again. They should have known that Jesus was going to do something. Then so should we. That means he believes Jesus knows all things. Sure he does. He knew what he was doing. They didn't understand. Sometimes they didn't understand what Jesus was doing. And sometimes we don't understand at all. I'll just be honest with you. I remember the night of the accident. We was down at Hosta Valley in that little waiting room down there. Some of you come down there to where we was at. I'll never forget you for doing that. I'll always remember you for coming in our time of need like that. And my wife was sick. She was so upset. And I went and got her a wastebasket so she could throw up. And she was crying. She had lost her daddy. He died just shortly after that. Rachel was dead. And my wife, she was just, bless her heart. And she said, I don't understand. I just don't understand why this is happening to us. I'll never forget, Brother Terry. I took her by her hands. I said, honey, listen to me. Listen to me. We may never understand. God don't ask us to understand. He just asks us to trust him. And though we may never understand, yet we can trust him. They didn't understand. They didn't know what was happening. But Jesus knew what was happening. He went away from the house of Lazarus. And Lazarus took sick. Jesus knowed it. And he went on. He knowed it before they ever sent the runner. He knew it before he ever left the house. Some of you are holding back right now. You know why? Because if you don't, you have to admit this is the truth. And then you won't have an excuse to whine over our problems. Come on, somebody. He knew. Don't you think he knew? Before he ever left the house, he knew Lazarus was going to get sick. Jesus noted. He went on. He left the house, his friend, just before his sickness. Why? The Father told him to. He went 2 or 3 days out. God had told him, listen to this quote, God had told him just how many days it would be before Lazarus died. Oh God. Before he ever left the house, God done told him Lazarus is going to get sick. But when he gets sick, you be over here. I'm about to blow a fuse. Listen to this quote, Vince. God had showed Jesus to go away and stay for this amount of time. And many times we think that it's disappointing when we get down sick or we feel that something has happened. But if you just won't be discouraged and remember that all things, say it with me, all things, all things, all things work to the good. Then what are we worried about? Amen. What are we worried about? Well, Brother Darrell, you just don't know. That's true, friends. I wouldn't know unless you told me. But he does know. Amen. And we think that it's disappointing. We get down, we feel something has happened. But if you just don't be discouraged and remember all things work together to them that love God, the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. Amen. They didn't understand. They thought he was going away. But in reality, he was coming back for the resurrection. They thought he should come back. He was coming back. He was just making a big circle. They thought he was going away from them. They thought it was the worst thing happening. But in reality, what was he doing? His journey was leading right back to them. Hallelujah. Amen. But this little family, they were in the worst condition they'd ever been in. Now it's getting darker. Lazarus got sick, it was dark. Now it's getting darker. Lazarus is taken sick. They had sent for their friend and their buddy. He had sat at the table. He'd ate many meals from their table. They had made him garments to wear. He'd laid his head upon the pillows that Mary and Martha had fixed, a little needlework, trying to show their respect, all that they could do to him. And why would he turn them down when they were asking for a favor? They left churches. They suffered persecution and everything for him. They had done things for him. Done things to make his journey comfortable. And why, when they needed him the most, would he turn from them and seemingly go the other way?
Think about it. Amen. Right,
bro. They went from this jubilee to now it's darker.
Amen.
Then it gets darkest. Death struck the home. They had sent for him. What a broke up home that it was. The man that had confidence in, the man they had loved, the man they had seen heal the sick and make the blind to see and prophesy and know the thoughts of the hearts and tell the people what would happen every time. He fit the scripture to the dot. Just exactly so much to them scripture loving people believed him.
Amen.
They were some of his most loyalist friends. And he let this happen to them. He let that happen to them.
Amen.
See? He let that happen just to see what they would do. No doubt that was what was in the Father's mind. No doubt that was what was in the Father's mind about it. All hope was gone. The man they trusted in turned out that he wasn't what they thought that he was. How quick our opinions change when things don't go our way. Oh, God, can't you see, friends? Can't you see where we're at?
Praise the Lord.
They thought it wasn't what he was. They were desperate. Lazarus, their brother, was dead. All hope was gone. That was Martha and Mary. They'd left their church, gave up all they had. There, their brother was dead. The man they had confidence in, being that great man who went around and did miracles, had left them and gone away and wouldn't come when they sent to pray for his brother.
Amen.
It's the darkest hour that little family ever seen.
Think about it.
Look what
what's happening to them. They went from this great revival, this great euphoria of being so caught up in what God was doing. Now death had struck their home. Jesus wouldn't come. Everything was going wrong. Those who said, I told you it was false. I told you it was wrong. They was getting on YouTube, all these posts. I told you it was a bunch of nonsense. Everything coming against them. The first day passed. Dark. Second day, dark. Third day, fourth day. All hope was gone. He's already rotten and in the grave. Skin worms was going through him. All hope was gone of everything. Discouraged, their pastor had let them down. Their loved one, the miracle worker, had let them down. Didn't come to the rescue. There was Mary and Martha left alone. Their mother and their father gone. Now just them two girls left alone in the world. Someone come along to encourage them, and they sat in sackcloth and black veils and weeping and mourning over their brother. And now, in their very darkest hour, in their very darkest hour, when everything that could go wrong had went wrong, and they was left with just their confusion and their feelings, oh my, and all the voices around them. But just at that darkest hour, the very darkest hour, then Jesus came. Then Jesus came along. That's just the way he does it. It's just the way, Brother Dale. That's just the way he does it. Not when it first started getting dim. Not when it was hazy. But in the very darkest hour, Brother Larry, when everything was gone. Everything was gone. Then Jesus came alone. My brother, my sister, it may be your darkest hour right now. There may be things happening in your family that you don't understand. There may be things happening with your wife that you don't understand. There may be sicknesses that you're facing that you don't understand. It may be your darkest hour. Your family may be tore up. Everything may be going wrong. Your nerves may be on end. You may not be able to sleep at night. But I'm here to tell you, my brother, my sister, you may think it's dark. You may think it's gloomy. But I say to you, take courage. It's them times of ours that Jesus comes along. Amen. Let's just look at a few examples right fast in the scriptures. I won't hold you long today. I apologize for last. No, I don't. We had a good time. Listen. But let's just look in the scripture right fast. Let's just look at a few examples. Think of it. It was the darkest hour that the woman with the blood issue had ever seen in her life. The Bible said she had spent every dime she had on doctors. Anybody here ever done that? When your doctor bill is worth more than your house, hello? She had exhausted every means and she was still bleeding. She was still bleeding. She exhausted every means. It was her darkest hour. It seemed like the doctors couldn't help. Nobody could help her. She'd spent all of her money. But then Jesus came along. Notice. Watch the pattern. Notice. He did not come the first day she went to the doctor. He did not come when she spent her first dollar on a doctor's bill. But he came after she had spent everything. Now to us, we think that's the wrong timing. Why would God do that? But you see, God is an eternal being. Time means nothing to God. And when we think he's late, when we think he's behind, when we think he's slowed down, remember, he's right on time. Jesus is always on time. He don't come according to our thinking. He don't come according to our thoughts. He don't come according to our understanding. He comes according to his timing. Huh? It was in her darkest hour, Brother Branham said. Then Jesus came along. Jairus. He only had one daughter. And she was dying. Brother Branham said he was a secret believer. But God has a way to make you testify. Amen. She got sick. Brother Brad said he took his coat and his hat and slipped out the door and went to find Jesus. And when he found him, he said, "My daughter, she's sick. Please come." And Jesus started following him. He started going with him. And they were walking back towards Jairus' house. And they met the mourners. You know what they said? "Don't trouble the master anymore. Your daughter is dead." Just let Jesus go back and pray for those, you know, that are crippled and lame, and your daughter's dead. It's over. It's gone. It's... Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Can you imagine how he felt when he got into the presence of Jesus and he bowed down and said, "Master, my daughter, she died. Please come and help her." And Jesus said, "Let's go." Now, can you imagine how he felt? Because he had the one who was able to change the situation with him. Amen. He was probably singing, "I'm one of them. I'm one of them." But now they come to him. And they say, "Trouble you not the master. Leave Jesus alone. She's dead." Can you imagine in his heart? "Oh God, I was so close. I was so close."
Yeah.
She's dead. Can you imagine the fear that went through his body, because he's human just like you and I? Can you imagine the look that was in his throat when they told him, "Your only daughter is dead"? But Jesus looked at him and said, "Only believe." It was in Jairus' darkest hour that Jesus come along. Look at Peter and him on the sea. It was the darkest hour that Peter and the apostles had ever seen on the sea. It looked like they was going to drown. It looked like this night they had finally got in the perfect storm. It was the perfect storm. That boat was tossing to and fro. The wind was howling. But don't worry. If I could only realize the perfect one was on board. Hallelujah. But in their desperate hour, they cried out to Jesus. And in the very darkest hour of the storm, not when the wind first started to blow, not when the rain first started to fall, but when everything was gone, the sail was ripped, the ship was sinking, then Jesus came. I think of Congressman Upshaw. Broke his back when he was 17 year old.
Right, amen.
You don't think it's hard for an 18 year old man to be paralyzed? 20 year old in a wheelchair? 21 in a wheelchair? Yeah. Friends, I tell you, when Jessica was in that little wheelchair, we had her support her body, her neck, and her, some of you, that little blue wheelchair. For a skip, it broke my heart. Yeah. I don't want my baby to be in a wheelchair. Congressman Upshaw, 17-year-old, fell off of a haystack, broke his back. He was in a wheelchair for 66 years.
Yeah, right, amen. Yeah. Think about it, amen.
66 years. Now, how many people thought that after 66 years in a wheelchair, he's going to die in a wheelchair? Come on, friends. If it don't happen instantly, we think it ain't going to happen. And so we see someone that's been in a wheelchair for 10 years. We get in our mind, they're always going to be in a wheelchair. We see a little boy with no hand. And we think he's always going to be without a hand. But the prophet of God said in the third pool, limbs would be restored. Hello? Oh, don't sit there in your unbelief, friends. God is God. I said, God is God. And who are we to tell God what to do? 66 years. He was in a wheelchair.
Amen.
Remember, I said, I walked up to the platform and I saw a haystack. And a little boy playing had the Holy Spirit begin to reveal, pointed him out and told him he was a congressman and that Jesus Christ made him well. And there him, an invalid, 66 years in a wheelchair, 86 year old. The darkest hour he had ever seen. All hope was gone for his healing. Think of it, Brother Terry. 66 years. We can't wait 35 minutes. We can't wait an hour in the service and we're looking at our watch. Go see how much longer before we can go out. This man waited 66 years in a wheelchair. He waited. And now at the age of, oh God, can you even comprehend that? At the age, Brother Larry, of 86 year old, all hope of healing vanished. I'm an old man now. What good would it do me to walk now? 86 year old, 86 year old, 66 years in a wheelchair. I said, Brother, I've been bothered with diabetes for 20 years. I've had this condition for 15 years. I've had this condition for 30 years. Let me tell you, my brother, my sister, it does not matter how long we've had it. It does not matter. Call on somebody. Our God is able at any time. When it seems hopeless, when it seems impossible, when everybody's praying for you and you still seem sick, remember, that's when Jesus comes. Amen. Told him he was a congressman. Him invalid, 66 years in a wheelchair, 86 year old, the darkest hour he'd ever seen. All hope was gone for his healing. Then Jesus came along. And a man who had been in a wheelchair for 66 years raised up and ran to the platform. Ran to the platform, touched his toes, jumped up in the air. My God, let me tell you something right now. If I'd been in a wheelchair 66 years and Jesus brought me out, I'd have tore the church down. Oh, there's no way. There's no way I would sit like a dead man. There's no way I would sit up. I'd be praising my God. Hallelujah. Can you imagine going up to the platform? I'd like to thank Jesus for healing me. 66 years in a wheelchair. God bless you all. No, no. That's the way message people act. No, sir, not me. I've been jumping like a boy. I've been dancing. I've been running. I've been screaming. You know why? Because I'm Pentecostal. Amen. Brother Branham said he stood in Billy Graham's meeting and sang, I'm leaning on the everlasting arm. Stood on the steps of the White House. It was the darkest hour for Congressman Upshaw. Then Jesus came along. The man at the pool of Bethsaida. I can't say that word, but is that it? You know where it's at. They carried this man out on a pallet. He laid, the prophet said, helpless. 38 years. 38 years he laid waiting. Georgie Carter withered up in the bed, rubbed the bed rail raw. How was it? 18 years? I can't remember now. 9 years she laid there. In that condition. It was her darkest hour. Everybody had gave up that little Georgie would ever be anything but a withered up pretzel in a bed. But then Jesus came along. The doctor stood there at Houston Valley. They come into the room where me and Cheryl was. We was holding hands and they said, Mr. Ward, Mr. and Mrs. Ward, we are sorry to tell you your daughter will never see again. There is nothing there to see with. That part of her brain is dead. She will be blind the rest of her life. We are so sorry for your loss of the family and we are so sorry for the blindness of your child.
But then Jesus came. Then Jesus came alone. Hallelujah. How can I not believe? How can I not preach this? Amen. Years. No one could help him. No one could help him. He laid on a pallet, helpless. It was probably his darkest hour. 38 years. And finally, brother, it just ain't going to happen. I'll never use that hand again. I'll lay here the rest of my life. It's his darkest hour. Nobody to help him. Nobody have time for him. But then Jesus came. Blind Bartimaeus, on that cold November day, and the wind was blowing. He was sitting out there on one of the rocks that had rolled out of the walls of Jericho, trying to warm himself in the sun. His turtle doves were gone. He used those turtle doves to make a living, but the turtle doves were gone because he gave them to Jehovah for the healing of his daughter. He lost his turtle doves, his sin-eye animal, the lamb that he had to lead him to and fro the market where he would get the doves. They would do little tricks. People would throw him money. That's how he made his money. And that lamb would take him to the market and back. But the lamb was gone because he gave that to Jehovah for the healing of his wife. He promised Jehovah, if you'll heal my wife, I'll give you my lamb. And the priest said, he took that lamb down to the temple. He said, blind Bartimaeus, what are you doing? He said, I come to give my lamb. He said, you can't do that. That's what you used to get around. Here, I'll give you some money to buy a lamb. He said, I never promised God a lamb. I promised God this lamb. And if I give God this lamb, God will give me a lamb for my house. And he was sitting there that day. His turtle doves was gone. His lamb was gone. He's trying to stay warm there in the sun. The doctors couldn't help him. Medicine couldn't help him. Surgery couldn't help him. He was blind. Sitting there in the cold November day, trying to warm in the sun. It was his darkest hour. He felt so alone. He felt so insignificant. Sure, yeah. But then Jesus came. That's just the way he does it. That's just the way Jesus does it. It's the pattern of his work. It may be your darkest hour. Your family may be in chaos. Everything that could go wrong may be going wrong. Your children may be disobedient to you. Your husband may be hateful to you. You may feel like giving up and throwing your hands up. It may be your darkest hour. But my sister, look. Look at the pattern of the work and take courage this morning. It's always in the darkest hour that Jesus comes along. My brother, you may not know where to go. You may not know where to turn. You may not know what to do. But remember, look at the pattern of his work. Look at the examples in the Word. It's always the darkest hour that Jesus comes alone. Luther was right on time. Wesley was right on time. Pentecost was right on time. Nothing was out of order. Even when we think he's late. Even when we think he's 4 days late, he's still right on time. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Oh, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Amen. Amen. Can I have just a few minutes? We'll close. Build it up to this point right here. I want to bring to you and we'll close. Now I want you just for a few minutes to consider this age
in the time we are living in now. Look at the pattern of His work. Look at the examples in the Bible. And they are given to us that we could take courage and believe if God done it for them, God can do it for me. If you sit here this morning and say that God could open blind Bartimaeus' eyes, but He can't help your marital trouble, you're going to sit here this morning and say God can open blinded eyes and God can raise Lazarus from the dead, but He can't take care of bone cancer. You're going to sit here and tell me this morning that God can create the earth and God can create the moon and God can create the stars and He can throw them out through the regions there and they'll stay right there where He placed them for thousands and thousands of years. And He can't help you with your family trouble. Hello? But Brother Darrell, you just don't understand. I guess I don't. I guess I really don't. How that your problem could be bigger than your God. You just wait, Brother Darrell. Something you'll see one day. Well, when that does happen to me, pray that I can stand. Like I'm trying to get you to stand. Hello? Amen. Let's consider this age, the time we live in now. With the promised word for today. If back in other ages, man could say, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. If men in times go past, if Jesus could stand in the temple and pick up the Bible and open it up to the scripture and read the scripture and say, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. Yeah. If they men could do it of old, could fulfill the scripture for their day, then cannot you and I stand in our day and say, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. What's promised for today? Where are we standing? What hour are we living in? The clock is beating. The scientific clock, 3 minutes before midnight. The world has got the jitters. The church is in the bed of corruption. There's nobody knows where they're standing. What a time of day it is. But what about the scriptures for this day? The world's in that. Just look at the world, the condition that it's in. When the United States passed now that men can marry men and women can marry women, and now a man is trying to petition the court to marry his dog. And if they don't let him, they'll be discriminating against some wacko that wants to marry his dog. Do you see where we're at? The conditions of the world today, the darkest hour the world has ever known. But when it gets that way, don't worry. Do not worry. It's always the darkest hour that Jesus comes along. He always does. It's the pattern of His working. It's about that time Jesus comes along. That's usually when He comes, just in the darkest hour. It's always the darkest hour when Jesus comes along. Amen. Every church will soon is going to have to belong to the World Council of Churches. And when you do, you'll forfeit your evangelical rights. When you do that. And if you don't, then you can't be a denomination no more, because every denomination has to come into it. You read of it just the same as I have. It's the darkest hour of this little church has ever had. Everything has went out for it. And Brother Bram says, Pentecost! Oh, wake yourself! Wake yourself up! And right in this darkest hour, that's when Jesus comes along. To vindicate, He is with you. When they start posting on Facebook, when they start posting on YouTube, when they start forming vigilantes against us, when they start bringing all these things against us and call all the things that they're saying about us, when everything begins to squeeze around us, when it begins to get darker and darker and darker, when they start posting on Facebook, Jesus will start posting in the midst of us. He always does that. In the darkest hour, He always comes. Oh, God, please. Get out of them glares. Yes, sir. In the midst of darkness, this dark time that we're living in now. Just about 5 more minutes left.
in the midst of darkness, who's going to bring the little bride out? In the midst of this darkness, with just a few minutes left, who is going to bring this little bride out? He says, the chief designer. He designed her, oh God. He designed her for this hour. We have been built to withstand Laodicea. Oh yeah, from all the confusion and from all the glare. It's the same picture. It's the setting of a scene. Judgment is just about to strike this nation. And not only this nation, but all nations. And they are nervous. Their emotions, they cannot tell what makes them this way. The insane institutions are filled. The psychopathic wards are running over. And they don't know what's causing it. It's the coming of the Lord. It's always darkest before the day, because it's the day pressing the darkness together. And now it's the darkest hour. Why is it the darkest hour? Because Jesus is coming, and his coming is pushing the darkness together. Don't you understand? It's the darkest hour. The reason it's the darkest hour is because light is coming. And when light comes, it presses the darkness together. Don't you see why they're leaving the ranks? Don't you see why they're posting what they're doing? Don't you see what they're doing? The light, the coming light, is driving them to the darkness. Don't you understand, my brother, my sister? The darkness is the evidence that he's coming. Amen. When he comes, he drives the darkness together. It looks awful dark now, but you know, sometimes we're taught, as I preached on the other night, it's always darkest before the day. And at the darkest hour of the night, it's when the morning star shines. It's reflecting the coming of the sun. The darkest hour, you know what it does, Brother Larry? It makes the morning star shine brighter. The darkest makes us shine brighter. It makes us stand out more. It makes us look more different. It draws the line greater. I'm glad. I'm glad we don't look like them, act like them, talk like them, dress like them. We're not like them. We're not children of the night. We are children of the light. We are children of the day. We are a peculiar people. We have our own language. We speak our own tongue. We are different. Amen. Oh, I got to close. Listen. A few years ago, Brother Brim said, down in New Mexico, Carlsbad Caverns. This man and his woman, his wife and his children, went on this elevator and went all the way down to the very bottom of the pit. And when they got down there and everybody was situated, they turned all the lights off. And when they turned all the lights off, it was midnight dark.
Amen. Yes, sir.
They turned them lights off. It is so dark, you cannot even see your hand in front of your face. You don't know what's up, down, left or right, in or out. You don't know nothing. Just a pitch black darkness. Not one slither of light nowhere. Total, complete darkness. And there was a little girl standing there, and it was so dark, and it come on her so great, her emotions got the best of her, and she began screaming. Oh, she was screaming. She was scared to death. It was so dark. That poor little thing was grabbing everywhere, trying to scream and holler for Papa, Mama, oh Mama, Daddy, Brother, somebody, where are you? She was screaming. She was hysterical. She couldn't stand it. It was so dark. She had never seen such darkness. Amen. She was screaming to the top of her voice, about to go into hysterics. Burbank said, that's just about the way the little bride is. But you know what? Her little brother cried out, little sister, don't fear. Burbank said, he was standing. Her brother was standing right by the engineer. me say it again. It wasn't her daddy. It wasn't her mama. It was her brother who was standing beside the engineer. And he began to cry out. He had a message. And his message began to cry out, "Don't fear, little sis. Don't fear. There is a man who can turn on the light." Hallelujah. He was standing. I believe he was. He was standing right beside the engineer. And he knew who had the switch. Little sis. Don't worry. There's a man who can turn on the light. Don't fear, little sis. There's a man who can turn on the light. He can make the word live. There's a man present. Don't be scared. No matter what they say. I've seen it come to a spot where I didn't know where we was going to move next. Didn't know what to do. But he's always present. The never failing presence. He's always there. He can turn on the lights. He's just waiting to see what you're going to do. He can flip the switch anytime he wants to. There's a man here who can turn on the light. Brother Biscoe was talking about standing beside Brother Benham there in that car. He said the presence of God come into the car. He said the whiskers on Brother Benham's face just stood out. He said Brother Benham just kind of laid his head back, kind of just rolled it slightly towards you. He said that presence was right in front of us, right towards the middle, towards the front of the dash, just hanging right there. He said he rolled his head back just slightly to me. He said, "Brother Eddie," said, "I guess he's come to me 10,000 times. But every time, it's just like this." And Brother Biscoe said, "I'll never forget, Brother Harry." He said, "I tell you, friends, it was a person. There is a person. There is a man here who can turn on the light. There is a man here that no matter what your situation is, no matter how dark it is, you may be in the biggest pit you've ever been in your life. You may be in the darkest time you've ever been in your life. But I'm here to tell you this morning, I've been standing beside the engineer. I've been watching this thing as I've studied it all day yesterday and last night, looking at these things, standing there beside the engineer. I begin to see that no matter what it is, high blood, low blood, no blood, cataracts, whatever it would be, colon trouble, gallbladder trouble, marital trouble, financial trouble. Come on, somebody. No matter what it is, God, there is a man here. There is a man here. He said, "I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you." There is a man here right now who can turn on the light. Listen. There is a man here, the prophet said, who can turn on the light. Those who sit in the regions of the shadow of death. Some of them under cancer. Some of them under death. Some of them in denominations. Some of them in creeds. Some of them bound by cigarettes. Some of them bound by drugs. Some of them bound by pornography. Some of them bound by lust. Whatever it would be this morning. Whatever that pit is this morning. Whatever that darkness you face this morning. You may have tried 1,000 times and you say, "I just can't do it. I just can't live it." But I'm here to tell you this morning, in your darkest hour, that's not the time to quit. That's not the time to walk away. It's time for you to look up and realize he's come. He's come for you this morning to flip your switch. You feel the darkness of this hour. Don't give up, but look up. Get ready. That's when he comes. That's when he comes. He that hath the ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. How tragic it is that this first stage did not listen to the Spirit. Instead, it listened to man. But thank God, in this last stage, there will be a group rise up. Amen. The true bride of the last day. And she will listen to the Spirit. And in that day of gross darkness, the light will return. by the pure word, and we will return to the power of Pentecost to welcome back our Lord. Is it dark? Is it darker than it's ever been? You know what we ought to do? Not give up, not be worried, not wring your hands. But it's a sign to us. The darkness is a sign to us that He's approaching. Then you know what we need to do? We need to start waving for Him. Amen. It's getting dark. Good. Let's start waving for Him. That means He's coming. That means He's on His way. That means He's on His... Somebody ought to stand up and wave to Him this morning. Go, Jesus, flip my switch today. Turn my light today. Turn the light on today. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! There is a man who can turn on the light. There is a man here who can turn on the light today. You've worried about that child. You fretted over that child because of that child's nervousness. But I tell you this morning, in the name of the Lord, there is a man who can turn on the light today. Amen. Cast down your fear. Start thanking God. It's always in the darkest hour when we give it up and think there's no way that He comes. There's a man here who can turn on the light. You know what I'd do if I was you? I'd never look at my symptom again. I'd never look at my problem again. I'd never look at my high blood pressure again. I'd just start thanking my Jesus that in the darkest hour, God, it's dark. That tells me one thing, Lord. Everything's going wrong. That tells me one thing. Then You're coming. You're coming. That's Your pattern. You've always done that, Lord. You will never change. So the darker it gets, don't give up. Just look up. See, no one's greater than Jesus. Is that the one we're about? Let Him cross in the dark sea. There's no one to sing that. Oh man, do you love Him this morning? How many believe God's able? How many of you sick this morning? How many's got a problem in your life this morning? How many's facing a dark hour this morning? Then what are you going to do? You know what I'd do if I was you? I'd just start praising God. I wouldn't even look at it no more. Don't look at that bad leg. Don't look at that bad leg no more. Just thank God for it. Just thank God for it.
I was so bound up. My life was so tied up. No peace within. Chains cannot hold me, confused so me, so shackled with sin. Then at noonday, on the other side of the sea, His eyes of compassion. They're piercing through me. So shackled with sin. sun was burning down. Embarrassment for my lifestyle so bad. There was Messiah sitting on a bell. My story of life he began to tell. I've forgiven you, Samaritan. I will call you my daughter. From out of your soul shall flow living water. Cause there's no one greater than Jesus. Oh, there's no one greater than Jesus. Oh, there's no one greater than Jesus. I was so bound up, my life was so tied up, no peace within. Chains could not hold me, confused, so lonely, so shackled with sin. Other side of the sea, his eyes of compassion, they're piercing through me. Oh, Legion, you've had me bound so long. My bowing has broken. I sing victory song. There is none like you. I worship you. For you are in prisoner's chains, with bleeding stripes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What can happen right now? He's here. Just lay down your sickness. Lay down your fear. Lay down your trouble. Lift your hands to Him. The Almighty God is here today. Thank You for Your healing. Thank You for Your joy. Thank You for Your children. He's come. He's here in the darkest hour. Then Jesus comes along. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They think we're going down. They think we're defeated. They think they're going to rub us out. They will never rub us out. We're not going down. We're going up. We're rising up. We're rising up. They think they saw the best of us. They think they saw the best of us. They have saw nothing yet. What you've seen done these 2 times in my ministry, the fullness of it will be done in the bride. That's the third pull. That's that third pull. They will never shut us up. They will never shut us up. Satan, you will never shut us up. We are unstoppable. We are invincible. We are God's army. You will see it rising up.
As I look out across the land, I see God's mighty hand, the bride of Christ adorned in her wedding gown. Just like in the days of old, they stood encouraged bold. They turned our world upside down. Church rising up. We're rising up. We're rising up. We're that New Testament church rising up. We're rising up. Rising up. We're the New Testament church rising up.
Oh, the
now the Bible plainly tells. Surrounded by God's holy angel. Well, if you think it's all long gone, all those miracles are done, I have some good news to bring to you. In this last days He'll pour of His Spirit more and more, like a mighty
church said, amen. And the church said, amen. Look out, devil. Look out, devil. You may think it's all gone. You may think we run out. You may think there's nothing to us. Amen. I'm not looking for what's happening. I am what's happening. This day, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. There will be a bride. She will be without spot or blemish. This day, this scripture is fulfilled. Do you love it? Let's give it a look. Oh, glory to God. Oh, Lord. I wish I was outside right now. I wish I was up on the hill by myself. I'd scream my lungs out. Oh, then Jesus came along. I believe he came this morning. Amen. Do you love him? I guess we better go. They'll start calling us Pentecostal if we don't. Oh, isn't it wonderful? You know, I read an article a few years ago. It's when the other pope, not this new one, but the last pope, come to New York City. Yes, not this one, but the one before him. He come to New York City. He had a mass for 1,300 clergy. Not 1,300 Catholics, but 1,300 clergy. Yeah. Preachers. 13. Yeah. And in this mass, he called for the organizations to unite themselves together. And he also called for something else. I read it in the paper. I about shouted. He called for them to unite themselves together and for the Catholic Church to return to the power of Pentecost. But you see, friends, they fill the pool, but it's not for them. It's for us. They're calling for them to rise up. They're calling for them to come back. They're calling for them to rise up. But they're not the ones that rise up. It's you. Because the voice of the resurrection is within us. They thought Jesus was going away from them. But he was actually coming back for the resurrection. You say, Brother Dallas, so dark. He's coming back for the resurrection. Amen. Do you love him this morning? May God be with you. How many believe God touched you this morning? Healed your body. Just go out testifying of it. Be as happy as you can be. And the prophet said, you will get well. Amen. I love him this morning. I believe him this morning. Let's just sing something. Let's just worship him just for a moment. We'll get ready to go. You need to go. May God bless you. We'll sing this song as we're dismissed in the fear of the Lord. May God be with you. Let's sing it. Here I am to worship, Brother Harry. Oh, I love it. Can we just worship him just for a few more minutes? We got to go into Monday and Tuesday and amen. Let's just worship him while he's here. He's come by to visit with us now. Let's give him a kiss of welcome. Let's anoint him with the oils of our praise. One day he'll drop down like this among us. And when he leaves, we'll go with him. This is just a little prelude. Just a little prelude of what he's going to do one day. When he comes on us in such a magnitude, a sting will go through our body. And the wrinkles will be gone. And the arms will work again. And the hair will be black again. Eyes once dim with cataracts will be sapphire blue again. Oh, amen. Light of the world, you step out into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Open my eyes, sit with me. Here I am to worship. Here I am. Say that you're all together. Thank you.